Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast whose time-based attacks always seem to just be slightly off. I'm your host, David Lloyd, and this episode will discuss some of our early impressions from the newly released indie hit from Sabotage Studios, Sea of Stars. And afterwards, we'll take a stroll through each of our Steam libraries to ask about some maybe lesser-known titles that may be in the list, see what's going on with those, and see maybe what we were thinking when we actually purchased it. Here to join me after completing her magical sewing assignment of patching together some Sea of Star thoughts, it's Paige Chamberlain.
I don't have anything to say to that, really.
I'm really assuming at some point in the game that whole magical sewing thing at the beginning there's going to be some kind of meaning to it later.
I mean, well, it's either got something to do with the title or just like a final boss thing and we just wrap it up inside some cloths and tie it up. Yeah. Throw it over the board. Be done.
That would be a funny way to finish off the final boss is to strangle them with the combined scarves of the two characters.
It's like that thing where you've got that sort of parachute thing that little kids hold on to the end and like lift up and down with balls and stuff. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just that.
Will there be some kind of like frost they have to, and they use it as a blanket to keep warm or something? There's endless possibilities. And then the whole thing too is like the guy who was very adamant that they had to learn how to sew seems pretty sketched to begin with. So the whole situation's
it's all really to put you inside a textile factory later. Just training you.
Yeah. He doesn't care where, like, the entire game is irrelevant because the real work was done with the child labor at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've been playing Sea of Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to, I was not sure if I was going to be able to play it on release. But thanks to a very generous Lal the Gal, I got the extra code. So I've been playing it on the PlayStation.
Oh, cool. It was a PlayStation code.
Yes. And thankfully I have like an American account for like review. It's literally named American Woman is the account that I'm sitting on my PlayStation just to put in some review codes sometimes.
Yeah, I have a Switch account called American Jericho, which is exactly for the same thing too.
Oh, my Switch one's less funny. It's just like page EU, page US, page JP. So there's like three other Pikmin, like just the different region accounts. But yeah, because I was like, you know, it's about $51 to $52 a digital, and I was thinking it's already announced that there's gonna be physical. So I thought, oh, maybe, you know, if I'm gonna spend that much, I might as well wait and just pay the bit extra for the physical. But yeah, thankfully I was given a code, so I'm able to enjoy it, able to talk about it on the podcast. And like, you know, now I think like it is definitely just looking at the game from like the get-go, the visuals, it is worth that money. It's just partially that it's just more than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I think like any time where it's an indie studio, I think your mind kind of goes to like under 30. Like 30 is kind of like a top tier.
Yeah, so I think whenever Australian, you see it, yeah. It's sort of like, well, the price is kind of typical, it's like $37.50, because it'd be like $30 American, whatever, or maybe $40-$45 if it's really like high up. So then it was just like a bit extra more than I thought. So.
Yeah. Well, and the pricing was curious too, because like, I'm not making any judgments, like, you know, price is clearly, they picked the right price because they think they sold like, couple hundred thousand already, and then, but it was funny because it's incredible that they're doing so well given that it's on both Game Pass and the PS Plus store, or PS Plus Essential, or whatever the plan
is. Do they count their Kickstarter numbers for how many copies they've sold, or like,
yeah, that? I don't know. I don't think so, because
I feel like that might kind of sold, but obviously we know like they mean like at least maybe Kickstarter, but definitely just like sales at least, because when you see something like Starfield, it's like players, because you know the amount of people that would be just on Game Pass and have not bought the game would be making a much lower number.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember how many backers, like I think it was in the thousands, like I don't think it was in like the tens of thousands, like So it would be a pretty small drop in the bucket, I would think, if they've got 200,000. If 200,000 people like paid full price, like that's really impressive if that's what happened. But it's hard to say because it said like 200,000 sales or whatever. So yeah, like because the way it works in like PlayStation Plus is you download the game, like it's almost like you're buying it but it's no cost or whatever. So like, does that count towards the 200,000? I don't know. But any way you look at it, 200,000 is pretty impressive for an indie.
Yeah. Yeah, they were saying that they've already beaten their year's projection sales, so hopefully it doesn't drop off drastically afterwards.
Yeah. It'll be curious to see where they go with this, because like the Messenger was like a platformer and now they went with an RPG, and it's like, are they gonna
golf game
switch to another genre? Golf game, or battle royale, like are they gonna switch genres, or are they gonna like do, or was RPG like always kind of the end goal or something,
you know? Well, there was the Sea of Stars documentary, which was just like a quick little making of before it released. And they were saying, like, he always had the RPG idea. So I think once they'd done the Messenger, then they were able to, I guess, the confidence and the experience and that they could, you know, do it themselves and even self-publish it and not have to worry about whether or not other people approve of it and just make it.
Yeah. Well, they must have banked enough from the Messenger, too, because they self-published this. And
kickstarted it. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's doing well. I think you're further than I am, but I think we're roughly
talk to around. Like, I don't know whether the demo, like the, you know, like when you play the demo, the first dungeon's a bit later, so like up to that far.
Well, I finished that one, and I'm on the island. Oh crap! What's the name of the island? Wraith Island.
Yeah.
And so I was, I think the last thing I did was I went to the pub where the waiter was like, sarcastic waiter was like chirping. And then they were like, were like a band playing music and stuff.
I just meant as far as you wanted to do early impressions, like how far did you want to talk up to?
Oh, yeah. Let's say the end of like, cause that was in the demo anyway. So like that's up to Wraith Island, let's say.
Okay. So yeah, one other thing, actually, like to go further into it, not with the start of the game, it's like when you play the demo, it was sort of like that first bit of the land where you're free, and just for a teeny bit to get, I guess, to show you the platforming aspects of it. Not that it's like timed platforming, but you know, it is finding where the bits to jump and explore are, and then it skips you for a bit to like a little cutscene, and then it skips you to the dungeon. And they definitely made that dungeon easier because there was way more enemy mobs in like one or two of those floors. I tell you. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to go back to someone's demo footage and look at somebody else's Let's Play the new one, but there was definitely more.
Yeah, I was waiting for a third phase to the boss, and I don't remember seeing it. I was sure there was another phase to the boss in the demo that never came in the game, but I could be making that up.
I mean, maybe you just killed it faster.
that's true. I felt like I was doing better. Like I had a couple of the moon boomerang. Like I actually got a couple in like to the max. So I did some like heavy damage to the boss this time that I didn't do last time. So I mean, maybe I did. Maybe I just killed them quicker than I thought or something. But yeah, I'm kind of with you though. I remember there being more enemies in that dungeon in the demo.
Yeah. And so it's interesting how they sort of did that vertical slicing of the demo to give you a bit of a go of it. But then my thought going up to that second dungeon was like, oh no, be new again. Yeah. There's definitely no safe carrying over with that kind of a demo. But it kind of still is my experience, but maybe a bit less so. But my experience is that the mob enemies, the regular encounters, are tough. And, you know, in some starting areas, I'd get, like, knocked out. But, you know, One, I assumed that you would heal on level up because it doesn't happen very often, but no, you don't. You don't. So I went into a fight with no health and like had to redo like 5 minutes of gameplay. But yeah, bosses, I've had less of a hard time with them than I've like normally. I can beat them sort of the first try, whereas some of the regular enemy encounters, I might have to go back to a save.
Well, in particular, there's the, I don't know if it's like an ant or something that multiplies.
You said moles on the in the or Discord, moles. And I was like, do you know what? They're ant. Like, I didn't even respond because I was just like, they don't look like moles. They've got like mandibles and everything.
It was, yeah, it was, what was throwing me off was the, when they went underground, like, so I was just like, it was like, oh, went underground, know, mole. But no, it was an ant.
Ants live?
Sorry? Oh, I know they live underground. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what ants do? Do we need to buy you an ant farm so you can experience the wonder of nature?
Oh, there's plenty of ants here, let me tell you. Yeah, no, no.
Yeah, they because they're sort of like the weakest, and then you've with this, oh, I guess the combat system, which we should get into. So you've got your main physical attacks, and then if you do a regular physical attack, that'll regenerate your MP, which you use for your spells. So, example, with the those ants, I'd be whacking them, and it's not very effective against them. Just a couple times, so I could like get more MP, or so I could use the boost system, which is, again, it's only when you do a physical attack or like when you get the jump on some enemies, you get like some energy comes out, and you can like have up to 3 out at a time, and then you can load 1 to 3 on a character, and it just makes whatever they're doing more effective. So I'd be, say, for the ants, I'd be saving up for the boots, like just ineffectively hitting them so I can get MP to use an effective attack or to get the boost to actually deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and then, yeah, so we've got the boost system, the MP regenerating, which is like very helpful because it's like, which it ties into the like this lock system where you definitely need to, you know, manage your MP and regenerate it because enemies will have a unique attack, which will then have a lock made of some like random things. Well, not random, but you know, like it's not necessarily the same kind of lock every time. Where it might be because you've got blunt attack, sword attack. I don't know if is it like Valerie or Valia. It doesn't have an I in it, so I don't know if it's
no,
meant to be Valerie.
Valera is how I was. I thought it was Valera, but I could be wrong.
But the moon one, the winter solstice of a character.
Yeah,
she's got the moon magic, and then Zael's got the sun magic, and then like another character has poison, which was kind of annoying when you went to like this area where like obviously you don't have that party member yet, and all the enemies have the lock for poison, and it's like, well, I just can't do anything about that right now. Like it's yeah. Very mean. But so it might be you need to use one of their magic attacks to, like, so it's like shows up like 3 or 4, you know, however many pictures, and it might be like moon, sword, or something. So you need to like hit with, and you've also got the timer for like there's a number above them when their turn's next. So you might have only 2 turns before they're going to attack. So with her moonerang, you can, if you time it right, you can hit them twice with the moon attack in one turn, and then the other character will hit them with a sword, and that'll stop that attack from happening, which can be very important because there was like on what you're up to in Wraith Island, there's like one enemy where I could not get the block timing right, so it would like insta kill my characters. Yeah. And there's another enemy where it group heals everyone, so there's a lot of like prioritizing certain enemy types to eliminate as quickly as you can, like it's like, you know, explosive ones, things like that, but also for focusing instead of, you know, trying to effectively deal with everyone, you might be just trying to stop a particular attack because it's going to cause you more trouble than fighting normally.
Yeah,
if you ignore it. So it's a pretty fun system. The only other thing I didn't mention about the combat is that, so it's like turn-based, but it's like action, like I don't know, inputs or whatever.
Oh yeah, the
so,
ATB
like,
and the, yeah.
Well, it's not ATV.
Oh, that quick timed.
Yeah,
quick time.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. It's like Mario and Luigi type, you know, Mario RPG type games, and like some other game I just played also has like this, it's turn-based, but you're attacking and you're blocking. It's like a timed input.
Bug Fables. Yes. Did you play Bug Fables?
No, I haven't. I think I did pick it up eventually when it was on like enough of a sale.
Okay. I think it's on Game Pass.
But yeah, well, that's based off the Mario RPGs is where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be I think it's just the A button for these ones. It's not like the Mario Luigi games where it's like, you know, one character's A and one character's B. Or at least it tells you a button anyway each time, so you don't have to remember or mess it up.
Yeah. The only thing with it is like some of the timed attacks, like when you're doing the attacking, I find the timing is easy. But the blocking, to block, that's, I always find myself, the enemies hesitate right before they attack.
Yeah, they're to trick you.
Yeah, I always, like, it gets me every time. Like, even when I know it's coming, it's like, you know.
So I love, everyone's like, there's a bit in the tutorial where it's like, you don't need to block perfectly every time. You know, and everyone's like, so that was the biggest lie ever, because you take so much more damage if you don't time your block right.
Yeah.
Some of them I learnt, like, you know, the ants go like click click and then they do it, but other, there's a few moves where I'm like, I can't get this right, and other ones it's like I can block perfectly pretty much every time.
Yeah.
People, I think like another game I played recently, it's like, I don't play this when you're too tired or something.
Yeah.
And then input wise, pretty fine. Sometimes I mess it up straight away and I'm just like, oh yeah. Like, whereas like I got the achievement for the Moonerang for doing it 25 times in a row.
Yeah.
Because at some point with the Moonerang where it's like, it can be a bit tricky because it's like you're throwing, like, you know, this Moonerang basically at the enemy, and then it comes back to you and you've got to like press before it actually comes to you, because like she preps the staff to hit it back basically. So you're not quite like, it's like a bit before you're actually going to hit it.
Yeah.
But like sometimes the order in enemies that'll go back and forth between can confuse me a bit, like with the layout of people. And so if an enemy's further away, it's going to like, it increases in speed every time. But if an enemy's further away from the other ones, it's going to come back a little bit slower than the other ones. So it can be pretty tricky depending on the layout of the enemies. But at some point, eventually, you're just spamming the button because it's too fast.
So, yeah.
And I remember, I think I finished off a couple bosses with it, but I remember in the demo, I probably, you know, that was on like Switch and demo, so no achievements, but I probably would have, I don't know what my count for that one would have been, but it was probably about the same. You know, that,
yeah,
that many.
Well, it worked. The second boss, like in the color dungeon, was the moonerang was super effective on it, so it was even more useful to use on that one.
Yeah. And it was one complaint that I have about the battle system is the layout, where it's, you know, you walk into the enemies and then you're fighting where you are. But sometimes an enemy, one of your party members will move out of the way, so an enemy can stand where you were standing just to hit another party member. And then you don't have enough time to react to getting hit, because you're just like, what the hell's going on? And then they've just spat something in your face, like, immediately.
Yeah.
So yeah, the changing of the positioning to, like, I don't know, fit in the animations and stuff, that really annoys me.
There's no, you can actually hit them ahead of time too if you sneak up behind them, but it's so insignificant. It's like one HP.
And it gives a boost thingy though.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the time it's like, I swear I hit him and it's just done nothing. And I'm like, oh, thanks. But yeah, that's the main aspect of the game, I would say, is the battle system. The equipment's pretty basic, although I was interested in, like, I can't get to it now, so I don't know if it will come back later, but like I found like a secret shop and you could buy more, you know, like these items where you've got to have them or something, but they make certain aspects of the game easier.
Oh, the relics.
And it's like, you know, like, so a lot of games have been doing that recently. So in a way it's like, well, these are kind of just cheats, but then I'm looking at one of them, and one of them is to make things in the shop cheaper, but I have to buy it. So I'm like, is it really a cheat if I have to buy it? Isn't that just me spending, like, isn't that me just, like, you know, finding a silver card? And I mean, in the new Fire Emblem, you had to literally buy it with actual money, but, you know, like, the season pass, but, like, you know, is it just like getting a silver card in Fire Emblem, you know, from just, you know,
Yeah. Well, like, they're not full on cheats though, because like some of them, it's, there's like some give and take. So there's one where it's
There's the hard ones. Like that's the difference. So I think it's like there's the ones that are just for easy, and then there's ones that like actually make it a bit harder.
Yeah, because there's one like that'll auto, it'll do the auto attack for you, but then it's not, the damage isn't as high. Like I bought that one from a store. I haven't turned it on. The only one I've turned on so far is if you miss a timed attack, there's a 35% chance of it blocking automatically. Okay. Because there is really no like downside to that one. So I'm like, yeah, I'll turn this on. It seems pretty tame as compared to the other ones. It's not like I'm getting like full, because there's one that just gives you full health and full MP after every battle. So that one's probably the one that makes it the easiest, I would say.
And I'm not really like an anti-cheating in single player games thing, or, you know, I tend to just try to play on like the normal mode, because, you know, if it gets too hard, I could drop to easy, whereas if you play it on easy, you can't go anywhere lower.
Yeah.
But you know, when it comes to these extra things, I'm like, oh, well, that's just, you know, it'd be useful for some people, especially like the timed inputs, and like they thought they would just get into a turn-based RPG, you know. But like when it comes to my personal experience, it's like, oh, you know, just at least, like I said, the money one, I was like, what, you know, I'm just buying a membership to the store. Like I didn't buy it. You know, I can't go back now. But like, you know, I'm like,
that's like made buying a Costco card.
Yeah, like that made me think, well, like it's not really like a cheat, because it's not just an option in the menu or like an accessibility option. It's like a thing I have to put resources into. So,
yeah. Well, it's like in Legend of Zelda, too, where you buy bigger wallets or bigger bomb packages or whatever.
Well, that's thinking. Just like a normal upgrade. I think that's not really the same.
Yeah.
Because
Similar.
Have you played the mini game?
Yeah, so there's, like every great RPG, there's a mini game in the pubs where, and it's strange. So there's two players, there's like you and the computer, and there's, you each have two fighters, I guess, or two characters, and there's like a castle, I guess, or a flag, and each team starts with 10 HP, and there's what would it be? It'd be like a slot machine, I guess, like where so a slot machine with, and it, on the slot there's like there's five slots, and there's like coins that are for like, you know, one of your characters will be a square, an orange square, and then one of your characters I think is like a purple diamond or something. Blink. And so so you hit the slot machine once, and then there'll be, you can choose which of the five, you can be like, okay, I want, you know, these two squares, and
you lock it in because you get three rolls basically each turn. So
if you wanted to like stock up on a particular square, because basically, you know, you have to kind of charge your character to do this attack. So there's, I guess, three things you can do. You can charge your character to do an attack. You can collect a specific square to evolve them, evolve the characters into better or stronger.
It's like you've got, yeah, those colored symbols that either goes left or right to whichever character, and then if there's a blue background, they also get an XP point, and they've got like about six, and every six of those they get promoted, which means their attacks are stronger. And then like there's even a level further where like if they're already gone, they get promoted again, a bomb just shows up in front of like the guy, like hits their hit points directly.
yeah.
But to like the side of your guys, there's like a little tower, and after enough of the regular colored ones have come, it like lowers down and they'll unleash an attack, which can be blocked off if there is like a wall in front of it. So I found the fighters a bit less useful most of the time, because like the wall would be up, so then their attack would be completely wasted. Whereas the wizards always do two attacks.
Yeah.
So you can knock down the wall and then still do a little bit of damage. And then the archers sort of, I think it depends how high the wall is, because like one time it shot over it and the next time it didn't, but the wall was higher.
Yeah, I also think it depends on the ranking of the archer too. So like if
they're differences in that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun, I would say, until I went to the second player, and I obviously went to competitive because, like, why would I not go and get the prize? Like, why is the point of doing a casual match, right? They had a character, which is the thief, who is literally the worst. It took me 10 or so tries because whenever their attack would load, right, if you had an attack ready on the same turn, they would just steal your attack, like get rid of your attack and hit you with a dagger. So even if you had a wall up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think it's equivalent to how much damage you dealt to or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just a promotion level, but it's. And then it would rack your thing back up by a couple, like the little tower for like when the turn is again, up by a few points. So then you wouldn't be able to attack. And by the time you could attack again, guess what? Yeah. You're still on your attack. I hate this. And then I finally beat them and I didn't get the figurine for them.
No, neither did I.
That wasn't like the prize.
No, it was like because a power
after the
up
first guy, you got given the archer prize because he had the archer. So like, you could use it in the next fight. But no, I went through all of that to not get the thief. And like, it's a fun game, but like that particular character, I'm like, I hate that so bad. I've got like, I posted a clip where I was like, yeah, I have a gold knight. I'm going to kill them in one hit. And then what happens? Their wizard promotes, so I get bombed to one health, and then the thief's attack is ready, and it just daggers me, and that's it. I lose.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what other characters are in these games later on, because, yeah, like, it feels like that thief would be, like, a later game. So now I'm like, what's scared. Waiting for me now?
and then all I got was like, whatever wheel, and I'm like, what does this? This doesn't even do anything. It's probably just like I'm qualified to fight the next person or something. But I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I like it in theory, but after the thief fight, I'm like, I don't like this as much.
Yeah. Well,
I wouldn't really work. You couldn't do it local co-op because I was gonna say like, say Voice of Cards came up like this mini game thing, and you could do it local co-op because like you can see everyone's. Stuff that's going on at the same time, whereas this one is the enemy's roles will be invisible to you until, like, it's covered up until they're being executed, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a shame I can't, play it with other people, really.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they made it multiplayer one day.
I mean, they potentially could.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it reminds me of, like, Triple Triad in the sense is like, when you won, you got to take one of the cards from the person you played against. And
when my husband was playing through Final Fantasy VIII in the recent years, I was like, so this is just marbles because like you get to take their stuff and then if you lose they take some stuff. Like,
yeah. No, if I lose I hit the reset button. That's how
okay.
Yeah. It's like you're not taking my hard fought characters that I bled and teared for.
So you are a cheater.
Yeah.
Save scummer.
I am a save scummer. Proudly wear that badge.
See, whereas like in this I don't really lose anything in the competitive matches, so I didn't like save scummer. I just kept like redoing it.
Well it's funny, I thought it would cost money to play or something, but it was there was really no downside to playing other than the time lost, I guess.
Yeah. Adding 20 hours to your like total gameplay.
Yeah.
And then, it's got the fishing as well, which I hadn't touched it since the demo, so I was, like, really confused and couldn't catch any fish in the first thing. And then I was like, there's a stream, like, a line where they have to be within.
Yeah, kind of in the light.
Yeah, which I didn't really notice the first time. Yeah, it's pretty basic. They can be really annoying because I'll just be, like, stuck in the left side for ages, and it's like, get out of there. I can't reel you in right now.
Yeah.
But you don't even get to keep the fish, you just immediately fillet them. So, but there was one kid who was like in a boat and he's like, Dad won't let us go home until we've caught enough fish. And he needed like 30 fish. So, like, I caught like all the fish in one area and I had to go back and get some more so the poor kid could be free.
Oh, yeah. I haven't done that.
So that was pretty funny. Like just to sit, it's just a little side quest where I'm like, I must do this. I must save this poor child from his cruel fate of being stuck in a boat fishing with his father. And yeah, funny. I think, yeah, we talk about the combat and other games and stuff, but I also really like the visuals, especially like there's this like one little bit where it's just an area to the next area, but it's like these waterfalls and everything, and it's really pretty. And like whenever I'm like swimming in an RPG, like, you know, and just like similar areas, like Xenoblade Chronicles 3 and stuff, and I'm like, man, I really want to be swimming right now. Like, I just want to be I want to be right here in these beautiful very dangerous areas and just chilling in the water.
Yeah, no, it looks really nice. I the dragon sleeping is hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah,
I saw this video. Suvi Nyano on YouTube does a lot of, because she's Japanese, so she does a lot of like reading Japanese comments and translating them on things.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a lot of comments about Sea of Stars, and apparently they don't like the character designs much. But one comment she was saying, she couldn't directly translate it quite because it wasn't the exact word for it in English, but their comments were the visually everything looked a bit poisonous or like toxic, like dirty looking, which, like, color scheme wise, which in like the areas I've been to mostly, not really, but like in some of the, like the trailer and that footage, you've got some, I don't know, more rainforesty looking areas, things like that, with like, I'm looking at it with like the purples and stuff like that, and I'm like, I can kind of see it, but that's like a really weird hang up to have. She was talking about how like there's a lot of, like, you don't see those sort of color schemes in a lot of Japanese games, and that's why she reckons Rayman, other than his character design, never sold well in Japan, is because a lot of those games have like that sort of look to it. The early ones.
Yeah, it's funny, eh? Like, I've kind of noticed, like, the, it's kind of like purples and browns and stuff, like, like, I could see where they're going with that palette. I also wonder if it's, like, just an early game thing where it's, like, once you get out of the, like, Wraith Islands, it's supposed to be kind of, like, dark and dirty, spooky, right? So, yeah, it's literally, like, that's kind of it's literally the point of it. So it makes you wonder if there'll be new locations that are a little more bright and vibrant, but, I mean...
Well, the waterfall, like, area was very vibrant.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that town, that first town you go to with the pirates, like, it was pretty neat. Yeah, I guess my beef with some of that is that there's no, I would have liked like a mini map or something. Like, I was kind of walking around the town, not really sure where to go.
Yeah, they can be pretty big. I don't think I've had that problem because I was like, I want to find everything. I want to grab, like, grab everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely should probably have like a mini map or something, because, like, I don't know, it can be hard though because it's got a lot of that verticality to exploring and finding little secret areas. So it'd be a bit harder to map out than a standard town where everything's flat.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe even. If they had like just an arrow that pointed to like the next place to go or something.
You need objective markers in your video games.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened is
you're the reason why there's yellow paint in boxes in Resident Evil.
Yeah. Well, there was two instances so far. One was so after I talked to the pirates and they said you had to go to the lab or whatever. Initially, I had it in my head that there was like a different path to go. So I like kept going to the north of the city and I'm like, I don't see anywhere out of like any way to get out of here. And then it finally occurred to me is like, oh, maybe they wanted me to walk back the way I came to go back to the overview or whatever so that I could walk up. And so I figured that out or whatever. But then the other thing was, when I went back, so I got the coin and I went back to give it to the pirates. And I guess I walked right past where the pirates were standing because I assumed they were still in the pub.
Yeah.
So I went to the pub and nobody was there. And I'm like, where? Like, so then I thought, oh, I was supposed to find a ship or something. So I'm like going up to the northeast and I'm like, what? There's no ships. There's no dock. What is going on? And then I went to leave and that's when I noticed that the pirates were back at the front door. And I'm like, oh, I walked right past them.
I think that's what we call a skill issue.
Yeah.
I think those instances just sound like personal failings to me. that's not like, oh, it's just going to a new area and I don't know exactly where it is. It's just like you just walk past things. Or
you have to develop based on my idiocy. I'm sorry.
Yes. I was going to say, I don't know if the core audience they have in mind is people who can't tell the difference between ants and moles. So. Yeah,
that's true. If we got into a debate, that's the first thing they could bring up. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're the guy who doesn't know the difference between ants and wolves. So you get no say in this. And then I would just be like, you got me. I'm out. You got me.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, I was gonna say it's prime ministers in your country, isn't it? Too. So. No, Prime Minister David Lloyd.
No. I wouldn't want that responsibility. But yeah, what's your overall, you're still enjoying it? You're going to keep going?
I sort of hit a point where I'm like, I want to go back to some, I've got a slightly more freedom to move around like a little bit. So I kind of want to go back to some of the early areas and see if I missed anything. But then that also means I have to wail through the earlier mobs and so that's just kind of annoying. But, you know. Yeah. No, I really like it. I do have something else I have to play now. But, you know, when I get sick of that, I can, you know, I guess. Basically, those things I picked up another game and I was like, well, whenever I get like mad at Sea of Stars, which kind of happens sometimes, I can just go to this other game. Because like, I was just sort of like, I'm only playing this right now and I don't want to play any more of it today, but I've got nothing else that I've started recently. But I do really like it. It's just like, yeah, for me personally, it's having more trouble with the basic enemies and like desperately looking for the next free heals and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think is why they have the limit on how many healing items you can hold.
Yeah.
So that you're not making it, you know, because like I said, I didn't pick on those sort of, you know, relic item options. But if a game lets me hold 600 pies and pause and eat, then I'm going to do it. Like, the game's not stopping me from doing it. I'm going to
I'm definitely cooking everything I can because, yeah, I'm usually healing myself after most fights. I
found someone who sold milk or whatever because I was, like, constantly running out of the mushroom soup and I'm like, I need the party heal. I don't need...
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not wasting my 10 slots of food on something that's only going to heal one party member. Like...
Yeah, or so, the ones the jelly that just gives you a little MP.
I think I've used like an MP thing in like a boss fight where it's like I specifically need this character to attack repeatedly.
Oh yeah,
like this specific one, and like I'm in a rush to not get hit by something that's gonna nearly kill everyone. But yeah. I did see one person comment saying that they were like, you know, when you. You know, because there's always the people sort of get into hype and just like, I mean, not that I would have seen any reviews really talk about this, but, you know, people would pick up a game because everyone else is and they play it and they're like, oh, I realize it's not for them. And they were complaining about like the puzzles and they're just being like too many, it's too hard. And I'm like, I don't know how far they work because I'm not a puzzle person, but I haven't had any trouble so far.
So, I don't even remember any like this, puzzles per se, like
some sliding blocks.
Oh yeah, I guess. I don't know. That doesn't really count as a puzzle. I don't think.
I don't know. It's just like that and like finding hidden areas is all I can really think of at the moment. But
yeah. Well, it's funny. I feel like it's a very similar experience for me as Eastward, where it's like it's this pretty game. It does a lot of things well. But I don't have that like desire to play it when I'm not playing it. Like Baldur's Gate 3, like I'm you know, I'm at work.
You sleep it, you dream about it.
I'm like going through fights in my mind of like, okay, how am I gonna figure this out? Like how am I gonna defeat Gortash or how am I gonna, like, it's just all these things, like I'm always thinking about it, right? Or a Sea of Stars, I'm playing it and I'm like, yeah, it's you know, it's fun. So it hasn't hit me that way yet, but
I actually had a dream of it last night because like I'd recently a bit where I can move the boat around, and I had a dream like crossed over with some other thing that I was like, it was my mind was crossing it over the One Piece, and I'm getting chased by like one of the like the CP9 guys, and their boat was faster and golden, and like so thankfully the baby woke me up from that one. So I guess I am dreaming of that a bit, but yeah, it was why. And I had, like, you know, some my new job starting in that recently, so a little bit not playing as much, but I gotta get back into it because I don't want to drop it like every other thing I've done this year.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely quite like it. But maybe it helps I didn't have to pay for it. So.
Yeah, that's right.
I do definitely go like, oh, I don't know about like nines, you know. But I haven't beaten it yet, so we'll see how story-wise it evolves.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'll reserve my final judgment for later on. Still pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess to wrap up this episode, I thought of a fun little game to play because we're always talking about how RPG fans own more games than they'll ever have hours of lifetime available to play them. And our Steam libraries are so easy to access that I thought it'd be funny if we would each go through our Steam account, each other's Steam account, and kind of pick and choose a few games. And just see if the other person can either A, even remember that they bought the game, B, remember if they played the game, and C, if kind of give us a breakdown if they'll ever play it, or if it's just doomed to be on the backlog for eternity. So I'll start with one on your page. I went with the most Australian sounding game that I could find as the first one, and I came up with Capybara Spa.
Capybaras are from South America, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, really? Well, then
I'm pretty sure
this is the guy who thinks ants. You can't moles and ants are the same to me. Capybaras, I just assumed, were from Australia.
Yes, native to South America. I don't know which specific country, but no, it would be great if they were here, but they are not. They're kind of related to like guinea pigs and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess did you pay money for this game?
Yes. I saw a little video about it, and it was talking about how it's like a little management game, and you basically have little capybaras love hot springs. They love to like sit and relax, and like they're very chill animals. So this game is like that you're dropping capybaras into the hot springs, serving them some fruits, maybe giving them a little flower crown. Basically, like, you know, management sims, where it pops up with what they want and then you try and give it to them. And you're waiting for like the time of things. Unfortunately, I think it's pretty boring because a lot of these management games lately are very focused on this whole like cozy trend. So you're just sort of waiting for the things to happen, but there's no pressure if they don't happen in time. Like, they don't get mad and leave and not pay you, or you have to refund. You know, like, I don't know, I'm thinking like Cake Mania, where it's like you're in a rush all the time. You're trying to perfectly time these different cakes and everything. Those sort of ones. Whereas this is just like...
You need consequences.
Yeah, there's no consequences to this. So it's like, you know, and I get that, you know, they want the games to be like relaxing, but it's like I want a little bit of pressure. I mean, not like a heap, but like a little bit. So this is a game where I kind of was like, oh, maybe I should refund it. And then I think, look at how much I paid. And I was like, I don't think it's worth having just $5 in my Steam account again. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's cute, but it's not what I want. Same thing with like, Bear and Breakfast. I didn't really look into it much. I was just like, oh, it's a management sim. And then it was like, there was very little managing. There was lots of waiting, like lots. And I was just like, well, I kind of want my money back, but it's on the Switch, so I can't get a refund. Oh, yeah. They literally say, you should look up reviews. And I'm like, none of the reviews told me it was boring. So funny. I want some more pressure if I'm running a business, you know?
No, that's fair. So anything on mine that caught your eye?
Fatal 12, because I think that's a game I've added to my Switch wish list after it was like someone brought up was on sale on Steam.
Oh,
because I was aware it was like a girls liking girls kind of visual novel or something.
Yes, I don't know if that's the point of it, but it is in there.
It's an aspect.
There's romance between some of the women there, but so I don't remember the exact fine details, but I kind of remember the general overview. So yeah, it is a visual novel. I played this years and years ago when it first.
Well, let me see. Unlike you, I went through your Steam list and went by playtime and picked games you actually played and hadn't brought up on a podcast episode, as far as I remember.
I might have talked about it, but not a focus.
Well, some of the other games, maybe. But like, there was a bunch where I kept going, ooh, and I'm like, no, there was literally an entire episode on this.
Oh yeah, no, I think I might have mentioned it on, but it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
it's kind of so. Yeah, visual novel. So you play as the main character. I almost feel like you might control a couple characters, but I guess the whole point of it is that there's like 12 people and it's like the last one, I don't remember how they're picked, but somehow people are picked to die and like there's only going to be one left at the end, and there is a twist at the end, and there's like fake endings and stuff based on decisions. So like, so basically like you've got your branching paths, and you have to, when you get to like a fake ending, you go back to a point of a decision or whatever, and you choose the other decision and you keep going down the paths and everything. But I saw this, I purchased it because I saw it on somebody's like game of the year list for like 2017 or 2018, something like that. And I thought, wow, that's like, you know, to be like number two or number three on your list must mean it must be decent. So I played it, really, really enjoyed it. I did a video for NWR about why it should be on Switch, like maybe 2 years before it came out on Switch. So it's kind of funny. So I was glad to see it came out because I think, people would enjoy it. I'm pretty sure there was like a love triangle between three girls, I think was like the backdrop of this whole, somehow they were all intertwined and there's like some kind of like god or entity that was like had to kill every set up as like a battle royale sort of thing or something. And I don't know if it's like, I'm probably getting this mixed up with other games, but I don't know if they knew each other in real life or the 12 of them met and then they were like trying to seek each other out because there was ways to, like, if you found out somebody's name or something, you could like vote them for death or something. I can't remember. But anyway, at the end of the day, I thought, like, I really enjoyed the story. And I thought it was like, if you're going to play a visual novel, it's a pretty good one. So, yeah, I would recommend it if people are into visual novels.
So I'll keep it on the wish list then.
Yeah, it's worth it if you see it on sale. So another one I had for you was I should have picked one I could actually pronounce. Yumurangi Generation. It was more the reason I picked this one is because it had a funny description. So it's a first person photography game set in a crappy future. I'm PG-ing this for our non-explicit podcast. Set in some like futuristic world or something where there's an impending crisis and you're a courier for an express, and throughout the game you unlock a variety of lenses and equipment. So yeah, it looked like some kind of like photography game or something. So
yeah, I was considering doing like a video about different photography games. Turns out hardly any of them are on Game Pass, and I thought most of them were, so it's just like, I did want to buy it on Switch, but it was just the thing where it went on sale for like $7 on Steam, and it was just like, well, you know, I don't know if it's gonna go on sale that deep on the Switch because, you know, it came out a bit later on the, you know,
yeah.
So like, oh, I'll just get it now for that price, but I've not played it. I do know it's pretty in depth with the photography, like you've got different lens, like it's, you know, it's more than Pokemon Snap, you know, like it's, yeah, you got different lenses and all sorts of things, so it's something I will play in the future, but I haven't touched myself now.
Okay.
For you, I'm going to switch because actually I do think one of the things I put in there you guys did podcast about, so
Oh yeah, the next one, we can take a couple off each.
Yeah. I'm gonna make you talk about Made in Abyss, which is based on that manga anime series.
Yeah. So yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah.
So, my understanding of the story, like, so I played that knowing really nothing about the anime or whatever, the manga or whatever it was based on. I'm pretty sure it was like, yeah, I think it was a manga, but then they turned it into an anime as I think the timeline. And I guess it was popular enough. And then I don't remember who developed it, but NISA, I'm pretty sure, was the publisher. So I did a review on it. It's like there's like two aspects to the game. There's like a story mode that you play through first, and then that transition, and it actually just follows the anime to a certain point. And then so you can only get so far, and then it's like, all right, the story's over. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, there's clearly more to this than that, but they like ended like early in the story of the anime, which was kind of weird. And then they transitioned to, it's like a survival mode, I guess, where it's set in the same world, but now it's not really part of the story anymore. Like the character, like you're creating your own character that's in the world that goes back to the school where you first start off at. But like the main characters in the anime are gone because they're like, I guess, finishing the story that you had started or something. I don't know. And then you're just basically left with like, okay, now you have to travel down the abyss and just, you know, complete tasks, I guess. So, I mean, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's an acquired taste. It's got some weird mechanics to it. Like the battle mechanics are kind of, stiff, like they're not the greatest attack or whatever, and it's very easy to die. The death scenes are gruesome, like really gruesome. The way that the abyss thing works is like you're always traveling down, but if you travel back up, you can get sick if you're traveling back up too quickly. So there's a whole bunch of things to it, but it's definitely like, if you're gonna get it when it's on sale. But it was just, I don't know. It's hard to recommend the game though, because it was just like a strange experience. Like like when the story was done, I was very much like, man, I kind of want to know what happened in that story. And now I'm gonna have to watch the anime if I want to know. So the game kind of left me wanting more, I guess.
Yeah, I was interested because it's sort of, I looked into it and I was sort of like, well, I don't want to pay like how much you're asking for it, basically.
Well, they were asking full price at the time.
Yeah, it's this thing where like the low to mid budget sort of, no, sorry, anime games, but like, you know, usually not so based off an anime, but either based off an anime or just that sort of style games, they tend to be the ones that are priced at like the 90, like above the standard rate.
Yeah.
So it's like the ones that like are not as good are demanding more money from me, which is always funny. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people like talking about like the difficulty, especially with the, you know, if you want to try and get, you got to try and get back, but then you can't do it too fast and stuff. Like it seems maybe more something like I'd want to watch a streamer play it and enjoy their suffering than.
Yeah, it seems definitely seems like a good streamer game. I'm pretty sure I've seen it on sale like 80% off too or something now, like because it's been out for a year or two now. So yeah, I'd wait for a steep sale. But I mean, you could watch a streamer for an hour and pretty much get the gist of the experience.
Yeah.
So how about we do one more each? So I'll go with Potion Craft Alchemist Simulator, because my daughter actually plays this a lot on Game Pass. And I was curious. I remember you talking about it.
Yes.
I think on one of the episodes.
It was a Christmas episode because Jordan, right. That's not even a year ago I talked about it.
Okay. Is that the one you got for Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's it. That is the one Jordan got. Okay.
Yes.
I couldn't remember if it was that one or there was another similar one.
No, it's not.
Is Potion Craft the one where
Potion Craft like, is like the 2D medieval looking one?
Yeah, but do you go around as kind of like a medic, like helping people in the village?
No, you just in your shop.
Oh, okay.
Like, people come to you, but, like, you, yeah, you don't leave. Yeah.
Oh, I'm probably getting that mixed up with something else then.
Yeah. No, there's, like, a few different potion games out now. Like, a few were, like, in early access for ages. This one I haven't really touched since. It was just, it was, like, it's, like, okay. But it's not really, like I said, you kind of, it's just trying to figure out how to get to the next recipe more effectively, basically. And again, the consequences, like, are semi-minimal. I could just be like, you know what, I don't care about serving you guys. I'm going to, like, say. So it's just sort of like a slow grind thing.
Yeah.
There's potion permit, if that's what you're thinking of. Or think potionomics or something. Potion permit looks like you actually walk out of your and about.
Now, there's something where it's like you have to go out and, like, collect the ingredients or something, and then there's, like, people sick in your village.
Diagnose symptoms and cure. It's probably potion permit then.
Yeah, that sounds like it. I guess my one follow-up to this is the other game that she's playing a lot of that I might have asked you about this already. The Disney farm, it's like the Disney
Dreamlight Valley.
Yes,
I was gonna joke and ask you because it's on your Steam profile and it's like it's your most recently played game.
Yeah, so I got Game Pass for Starfield like a month in advance, but then so my daughter was always on the Xbox and she noticed I bought Game Pass, so she's like, oh, so she starts going through the catalog and sees the Disney game and starts playing the Dreamlight Valley, and she's obsessed with this game. It's like one of the old, like 90% of her game time is on this game now. We actually just spent $20 on freaking moon coins because there's the Disney.
At least the
Disney Palace was added to the list today, and she like went nuts and wanted it. So, but
well, at least it's for it's a game that doesn't have like multiplayer components. Because when I was a kid, we would ask for money to spend on fake video game things, and then my younger sibling got scammed out of the stuff.
Oh, jeez.
You kind of get scammed in this game because it's just like single player, but like,
yeah,
it'll just be the consequences of eventually when the game shuts down. But that'll probably at least it's like, a little while because it's like an early access game, so it's not even finished yet,
yeah. Well, and so
and it seems it's to be on my doing
Steam,
well.
It's on my Steam list because we went to like my family's from another city, so we went to see family and she was so disappointed that she wouldn't be able to play it, so I just bought early access on Steam, and there's like cloud saving so that you can play on the Xbox, you save to the cloud, you open it up on Steam Deck, and you just pretty much take over exactly where you were left off, so it lets her play on the road now.
Yeah, I only touched it because I was testing out the Game Pass on the TV, like cloud streaming, and it's like, it runs well enough, but then the frame rate's inconsistent enough, it makes me sick, so, because I knew not to buy it on Switch, because I know it runs terribly on Switch.
Yeah, that's what
I But I don't too. Really play on anything else, and I didn't really want to pay for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It seems fun enough. I'm not, like, a huge Disney fan. Like, I really like the movies, but I don't, like, have too much merch of it, or something, I guess, because I just have Nintendo stuff, so like I've already got big, colorful, that's enough.
Like, you can only be nostalgic for so many things.
I mean, I might pick up like a cute little Stitch thing or something, but it's just, I've got a bajillion Mario figurines, I don't need, and I don't care if like Mickey's look that much, to be honest. But,
yeah, that's fair. You got one final one for me?
What have we got? Let's see. I want to be the one that you've only played for less than an hour, or the one that you played a bit longer? We'll go with Tactics Ogre Reborn, because that was one of the many Square Enix games of last year.
I know. I blame Jordan for this one. So at the time, I knew I was going to get it, because like you said, it's Square Enix. I'm going to play it eventually. I bought it at the time because Jordan was, I'm pretty sure it was either Jordan or Casey. One of the two were like adamant they wanted to do a episode on it right away. And so I picked it up, and I usually like tactics games, but I've never been able to get into, they're almost like too simple. Like it's much, the game's a lot like Final Fantasy Tactics, which I just, I don't know, like I just can't quite get into them for some reason. So I played it for like an hour and then I was like, this is just, it's not what I want right now. I can't remember what I was playing, something else at the time. Like I was coming off a big game, so I was already like kind of fatigued a bit. So it was, I would probably blame the timing of it more than anything, but I do plan to get back, like play it one day. It certainly didn't hook me right away. That, I guess, is the way to put it.
I think one thing that's interesting about it is like, because there's been a couple versions of the first, I'm assuming it's the first Tactics Ogre game, and the person who did the review on RPG site, so it was kind of, they've changed things up again, so with the different systems, so it's like, there's still never really a definitive version of the game, because they all have these differences.
Oh, okay.
Some people might prefer one over the other, so. Yeah. I remember, I think people were making fun of the voice acting or something when it
came out. Oh, yeah, I think I heard that too.
Yeah. I think we did technically pick up all of those, that mass release of Square Enix games, all those little RPGs that came out around the same time of each other, mostly on the PlayStation, because it was just like, boom, they're all half price now, because they they're all half price really quickly, so we're just like, snap.
Yeah. I think I was playing Deerfield Chronicle, the Deerfield Chronicles at the exact same time or something, and yeah.
Yes, I think we've picked pretty much all those up on the PlayStation. And I know, I think, because my husband's playing it, I think he's like, he doesn't want to play the Valkyrie Profile game. He had enough of it. And I don't think he likes the Star Ocean game enough to go back to it either. So.
Oh, okay.
So at least two of the four or five they did, he's like, no.
No, that's fair. They were coming fast and hard there for a while. So.
Yeah, they were. But they flopped hard enough that they were affordable afterwards.
To our benefit. For the ones that had to try it, at least.
I know. As a Nintendo person, I'm not really trained to wait for sales because they don't happen.
Yeah.
And then like I said, I pick up these anime games and they're just like a small print. So it's like, they don't really go on sale much. I like them, might.
I guess you gotta play more Ubisoft games. They'll go on sale 2 weeks after release.
I think that's why the new Rabbids game flopped, because everyone was just like, well, I'm just gonna wait for the sale.
Yep. That's me for sure.
Yeah, like I'll wait for the ultimate edition for $10 or something.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't finish the first one either, so that was part of it, really. But
yeah. Well, cool. I think this probably will wrap up the episode here. I'm just thinking of stuff coming up. I know we're going to be playing Sukuna, or you've probably already played Sukuna, right? So you're ahead of the game. Have you played that one already?
I haven't really. Maybe like tutorial or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, it'll be brand new for all of us then. Yeah, we're gonna one of our 5-hour trials, Sukuna of Rice and Ruin. I know we've got. We'll probably talk about Sea of Stars again when we're finished. Man, we got a few of them. That maybe Starfield. Man, there's too many games because now I'm blanking on. All the stuff that's coming out. But I mean, there's no shortage of stuff coming out, that's for sure. So I'm sure we'll have plenty to do. But yeah, I guess that's where we'll leave it for this week. I want to thank you, Paige, for
I do have one thing to promote.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
My Virgo versus the Zodiac review is on my YouTube on Paige G Guy, and it's also the written version on RPG site, because that was the one I think I vaguely talked about in the Sea of Stars, where it was like I went from one game, turn-based game, but with timed inputs to another, so but like quite differently, because that game, it's like you get shown like a little bar and things like that to time it. But yeah, I quite liked that one. So if you like indie RPGs, check out the review for that.
Cool.
Yeah, now we can say bye.
Yeah, sorry. So everybody check out that. And we'll see everyone out at the next Thirsty Mage. Bye.
Bye.